Well, we're continuing with our Grow series. Rob, do us a favour, pass me my water, thank you. We're continuing with our Grow series. And as Sarah said this morning, Jesus said that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And I'd like to speak on a very simple truth that Jesus gave that will bring wholeness, growth, freedom, liberty, and bring our hearts into an openness where we may be increasingly filled and full with the light of God. It is God's light and the presence of his light in our lives that brings us into increased freedom and wholeness. It is the darkness in our hearts and our lives that enslaves us, causes us to become diminished as individuals. But his light is liberating and wonderful. And Jesus gave a tiny little gem of a scripture in the Gospels that we often miss and we overlook. And sometimes we often miss it because when we read it, we don't understand it. And it's sandwiched between two verses. And it's just a tiny little thing. And we can often miss this little filler between these two teachings of Jesus. So I'd like us to have a look at it. And we'll explore what it is to live in the light of God increasingly today, that will bring us into freedom and wholeness. Little gem. Here it is. Matthew 6:22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Jesus talking about our lives being full of the light of God. Light is good in the Bible. Darkness is bad. Very simple. God is light. God is good. And when our hearts are dark or darkened because of our self-centeredness or the nature of our fallen hearts, it's not good for us. It's not good for us, and it's not good for others. Our lives don't only affect us, but sadly, they affect those around us and those who are close to us. So what's Jesus talking about here? Well, he's not talking about having 20/20 vision and going down to Specsavers. This is not something physical he's talking about here. There is a something about our hearts. Now, this phrase, in Jesus' day, if your light is healthy, or if your light is, if your eyes are healthy or your eyes are unhealthy, is a colloquialism in Jesus' days. A colloquialism is a local saying that was understood by the people of that particular locality or time. It's a little bit like if you go abroad, and I've discovered this, and use the phrase, the penny has dropped. And if you go to Europe, you're talking to your friends, go, oh, the penny's just dropped. And they're all looking for pennies or euros, because they actually don't understand what it means. And you know, the penny has dropped is a colloquialism for, oh, I understand now. The meaning has become clear to me. I've got it. The penny has dropped. And this is a colloquialism, a phrase that everybody in the time of Jesus would have understood. And the eye being healthy or unhealthy is a colloquialism for being generous or being mean. Being generous or being ungenerous. Being closed, tight-fisted or open-handed. That's a colloquialism, isn't it? And it's the same thing. Healthy, unhealthy. Generous heart, ungenerous heart. And why is generosity so important for our hearts to be opened and freed and whole to the light of God? Because God is love and God is light. And God, out of his love, gives. It's the nature of God. And when we're made in the image of God, we're made in his nature. So to be able to give freely, to be generous freely, is about being a true reflection of the image of God. It's about being truly human. It is our fallenness, our selfishness, that causes us to be less than the people that God has created us to be. But when we are generous, when we are open-handed, we are truly being the people that God has made us to be, like God, made in his image. Everything about God is give, 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 give. He so loved the world. He so loved you that he gave himself on the cross. Freely you gave it all for us. And that is the heart of God. And when we live like that, we become truly ourselves and truly the people we're made to be and truly free and truly whole and truly reflect his image, and we are just full of his light. And the question for you and me this morning is this: am I a generous person in the manner that causes my life to be filled with the light of God? Am I? Ask yourself that question. Am I? But we ask ourselves this because generosity can be interpreted in many ways. We can say, oh yes, because we could say, and this has happened to me also, you could give a compliment to somebody and you say, oh, that's very generous of you. Thank you, that's very generous of you to say that kind thing. Or we may be patient or forgiving towards somebody and show them mercy and the second chance. And you say, oh, that's very generous of you. What a generous-hearted person you are to actually give that person a second chance and be forgiving and gracious and patient towards them. That's a generous attitude, isn't it? Or we could be generous with our time or with our attention or serving and helping. And we are generous with the gifts and the talents and the help that we give. And all those things are reflections of generosity. But what type of generosity was Jesus speaking about when he used this particular phrase? Because in the passage that we're exploring this morning, Jesus was speaking about a very particular type of generosity. It wasn't the general generosity of helping, serving, being kind, being gracious, being forgiving, or being complimentary, or any other form of generosity that you could think of this morning. It was very, very particular. And the way we come to understand what Jesus was talking about is through biblical interpretation. Now, one of the keys for interpreting scripture, we can't read a scripture and just put our own thoughts or own reflection to it. Oh, I think it means this, because we could come up with 101 different ideas. When we look at biblical interpretation, what the person of Jesus or Paul or Peter, when they're writing the Bible, or any of the prophets, what they were actually saying, we have to look at the context, what they were actually saying in the context. And one of the ways that we do that is to look at the verses before, and we look at the verses after, and then we can see the context in which Jesus was saying this. You know, in other words, we look at the sandwich filling before and after. We look at the slices of bread and see what the sandwich is. So let's look at the verses, and hey, when I read the verses, you won't need me to explain to you what he's talking about. Here it is. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but stir up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart also will be. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, but either he will hate the one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So what do you think Jesus is actually talking about here? You interpret it. I mean, you're clever enough. You've been to school. What do you think he's talking about? What type of generosity? Is he talking about being generous with your compliments, being generous with your time? What's he talking about? He's talking about being generous with your money, isn't he? Very clear. So Jesus hears this is truth. He says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And he's giving us a truth here that is bringing our hearts, because hearts and treasure are all connected, bringing our hearts into a place where we can be full of the wonderful light of God. And that speaks of wholeness and freedom from everything dark, whether it's being entrapped or enslaved or anxious or diminished as an individual, we can be whole, healthy, full. The brilliant people that God wants us to be. But here's the question. What is he talking about here? The type of generosity that Jesus is talking about is a generosity with our money. But he's not talking about being generous with our money towards other people. He's talking about being generous with our money towards God. Generous with our money towards God. It's how we use our money. And specifically, being generous with money to God. Giving generously and serving God with our money. The alternative is storing and securing and using money in a self-centered way. Now, Jesus spoke about money a lot. He really did. And the reason why he spoke about money a lot is because there's nothing wrong with money. Money is a gift of God. But the fallen, broken human heart develops a very unhealthy attachment to it very easily. It's a little bit like Gollum in the Lord of the Rings. It's just a ring. But do you know in that story, that's speaking about when our hearts become attached to something in an unhealthy way, that as you track Gollum through the story, he started off in The Hobbit as just a normal, whatever he was, creature. And through the whole story, he becomes diminished and corrupted physically, emotionally, mentally, and he becomes a slave to this thing because of his heart's attachment. And that's what happens when our hearts become attached to money. And in this fallen world, the human heart is particularly prone to become attached in an unhealthy way to money. It's not that money has a power, but our hearts give it a power. And Paul says this, the love of money or the attachment that our hearts have towards money in an unhealthy way is the root to all kinds of evil. Now, evil in the scripture is a morally dark, destructive deficiency within the human heart. And also it says the love of money is idolatry. Now, as we look through the scriptures, the most dreadful sin that the people of God committed time and time again, particularly through the Old Testament, which robbed them of every good thing that God wanted to give them, was idolatry. Now, we don't go around worshiping man-made statues. But the Paul says the actual contemporary equivalent to idolatry is loving money. and looking to it in an unhealthy and an attached way. Money's not the problem. It's hold over us, it's mastery, and the security that we get from it, and the security we can get from its abundance, or the fear and anxiety it brings into our hearts because of its lack. You see, this attachment to our hearts can affect us so easily if we have money, but it affects people if we don't have it. It's got nothing to do with the quantity of it. It's something more principled than that, that has such a grip upon our hearts and diminishes us and closes us to the light of God. So what Jesus is saying here is this: if you are generous with your money towards God. You see, why do you say that, June, towards God? He says, well, he said, do not store treasure on earth, but store treasure in heaven. Where's heaven? That's where God's throne is. Store it up to where God is. Store your treasure towards God. So he's talking about God. And then he says at the end of it, after, you know, the other piece of bread on the sandwich, he says, man cannot serve God and money. He'll either love the one or despise the other. What he's talking about here is giving and serving God with your money, with my money. So how do we do that? I mean, what do we do? Do we get our money and we just chuck it up in the air and hope he catches it? Well, that's not going to work, is it? What if we say, I tell you what, we'll store up all my money and when I die, I'll give it to him in a big treasure chest. Well, we can't take it with us. It's too late then. That's not going to work, is it? So how do we practically act out being generous to God? Well, there's four ways in the Bible. So I'll teach you these four ways and then I'll leave it up to you to see what you want to do about it. The first way is tithing 10% of our income to God's storehouse, which the New Testament equivalent is the local church. Local church is the primary vehicle for God's work and witness in any given location. It's like the temple of the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, not to give a tithe to God, 10% of our income, was considered not just being mean, but actually stealing from God. You see, this is like step one, because what the Bible teaches is that he gives us everything we have comes from God, everything. And he says, I tell you what, everything you earn, everything I bless you with, you can keep 90%. Keep 90%, but 10% is mine. 10%. Now, that's not a bad deal. I mean, he gives it to us in the first place. He says, 10% is mine, to be brought into my storehouse so that the primary vehicle and mechanism for witness and worship and word can take place on earth in localities right across the nation and the globe, local churches. And so you bring that in, and that's enough for me to get my job done. You do that, and you can keep the rest. And in the Old Testament, that's what happened, and it was considered not really... In one sense, it's not even being generous to God, because generous is when you give out of no obligation. A tithe was an obligation, and it was basically giving God what he owed. Let's put this scripture up. Thank you. Next slide. Let me read the scripture first in Amos. Will anyone rob God? Yet you're robbing me. You'll say, how are you robbing? How am I robbing you? In your tithes and offerings. Bring the whole... It says, you're cursed as a nation for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I do not open the windows of heaven and bless you so much that you will not be able to contain it. So how do we give to God? By giving our tithes How can a person rob from God? Really, it's a sensible question. By withholding our tithes. Simple. Somebody may say, and this is understandable, you might say, oh, well, that's the Old Testament. Doesn't apply anymore. Just because it's the Old Testament doesn't mean it doesn't apply. You see, Abraham, who is the father of our faith, he's the example of our faith in Jesus. It says, Abraham believed God's promise that he would have a son that was speaking about Jesus, and it made him righteous by faith. And so Abraham, who's Old Testament before the law, he believed God, and Galatians says that Abraham is our father in the faith, and what he did and how he believed God is how we believe him, and how he lived is how we live. And Abraham, when he'd been blessed by God, we see the scripture, King Melchizedek, son of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham when he was returning from defending the kings and blessed him. And Abraham apportioned one-tenth of everything. His name, in the first place, means King of Righteousness. Next, it's called King of Salem, King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days or end of days, but resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. So you see what Abraham did? When God blessed him, he gave him a tithe back. He's our example today. Jacob tithe before the law. So tithing is a biblical truth. It's a biblical practice. And it's one way that we can give to God. But actually, that's baseline. That's sort of our obligation. I want to say this. I am amazed and encouraged how generous and faithful this church is in their tithes to God. I mean, we hardly ever teach on it. This morning, Sarah gave the offering, and you can say you can give or you don't have to. Many people have said to me, how does this church survive? Because hardly anybody puts anything in the offering, and that's because most people give by standing order. And we don't make a big deal about it. The last time I did a series on teaching, I was trying to work it out this morning. Last time I did a teaching on tithing, I think was in 2008. 2008 or 2009, but I know how long, it was that long ago. So we hardly ever teach on it. We very rarely mention it. And yet you are so faithful in giving to God so that his work may continue. And I just want to say, God bless you, and I want to acknowledge your faithfulness as a church. And so this message isn't to get anybody to tithe. This message is to, in teaching, keeping with our teaching, because Jesus taught about wholeness, and this is an important part of it. And it's an opportunity for me to say to you, well done. What an amazing group of people you are. And thank you. Tithing is fair because it would be unfair if somebody tithed out of their poverty and somebody out of their wealth didn't give anything. It's fair. And it would be unfair if somebody out of their wealth gave something and those who didn't have anything didn't contribute something. It's fair. It's God-honoring. And it's a brilliant principle. But that's only one way. The other way we can give to God is our free will offerings. So a free will offering is, having given our tithe, we see a need in the work of God. It could be in your local church, or it could be a ministry or a work around the world, and we go, I'd like to support that. I'd like to help that work, and I'd like to give to God by giving to that work. And this is what they did in the scriptures. When they were building the temple and the new tabernacles and all sorts of things, Moses would say, give a free will offering. And the people gave so much that God even had to say, stop the people from giving. They're giving so much we don't need anymore. And it's not because they had to. It's not because they were obligated to. It's because they wanted to. And it was a special offering. And again, I want to say to you as Cornerstone Church that you have done that amazingly over the years. this building was built on free will offerings. Penland was bought and refurbished on free will offerings. The seats that you're sitting on were there because of a free will offering where there was somebody in another city who's never been a member of our church, knew that what we're doing here and wanted to give to God by giving to this work here and said, I'm going to pay for 600 seats so that you can have your Sunday morning meetings. And when you do new wine conferences, there's 600 seats so everybody can come. And you are benefiting from the generosity to God of somebody else's free will offering who doesn't even come to this church. And those seats are expensive. Actually, the whole lot cost £28,000. That's how expensive seats are. Yes, they are really expensive, unfortunately, seats. And you are sitting on these seats, not because of somebody else's free will offering. And they were generous. Don't you think they were generous to God? Yeah, that's generous to God. But we can be generous to God when we see a work, whether it's a local need in the church or another ministry, we say, do you know, I'm going to give generously to God so that his work may can continue. And that's one way of being generous. Another way in the scriptures of being generous is to give to his people. This is what it says. Do good to all, especially the household of God. So the Bible's encouraging us to look out for the needs of one another in the church. So if I see a need, I have an opportunity to be generous to God by helping with that need. It might be a gift card. It might be a couple of pounds. But it might be towards a need. And I want to say again, just as you've been generous with your tithes and you're generous with your free will offering, I am amazed how generous you are as God's people towards one another. Even the student weekend, people without ever being asked, and we never make an announcement of it or haven't made an announcement of it, people have come up and said, if there's a student who needs subsidizing, I'd like to give some money for it so you get help to go. When with the women's weekend, people have come and said, I would like to pay for some free places for women who cannot go on the women's weekend. Isn't that amazing? These are the type of things that happen. And it's not asked for. People are just thinking about it out of their own initiative, and they come up and make those gifts available. And what are they doing? They're not giving to people. The people are the recipients they're being blessed by, but they're not giving to people. They're giving to God. They're putting treasure in heaven. They're serving God. They're opening their hearts up to light. They're being generous with their money to God. They're serving God with their money. And then the fourth way is this, is we give to God by giving to the poor. We give to God by giving to the poor. The Bible says this, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord and is repaid in full. How about that? Proverbs teaches it. He who gives to the poor lends to the Lord and gets paid in full. And again, I want to say, you're a very generous church, how you give to the poor. Whenever we've had an offering for the poor in this country or another country, I'm humbled by the generosity. People will again give towards our community projects and then not asked, but people give so that we can serve the poor in our city. And it's amazing. And I just want to say, well done. God bless you. You're amazing. You are generous to God. And I think that is one of the reasons why you are just fantastic people. People say to me this, what do you like about your church? Now, there's a lot of things I like. I love the music. I thought the band were brilliant today. I like that massive big television up there. I like that. I think it's great. I like the lighting. I like the building that we've got. I like the ministries. I love to listen to the teaching and the prophets. Do you know what I love most about this church? There's a thing that I love about this church. The fantastic people. the generous-hearted people, the fact that you're a for you people, not against you people, the fact that you speak well of others and not against others, the fact that you are welcoming and loving and friendly and serve one another and care for one another deeply, deeply. And all of this would be empty and rubbish and hollow and jarring and painful if it wasn't for the fact that you are such fantastic people. And I think one of the reasons why you are such fantastic people, and I love to be with you and hanging out with you, is because you are living in light. And one of the reasons and contributes you're living in light is because you are generous to God. Because if you're not generous to God, how can you be generous towards others? And I'm not just talking about financial generosity now. I'm talking about generosity of spirit and heart and attitude. That's what it produces. It produces this love and light in you. It's not the only thing that it produces. There are other contributors. But if we don't do that, we won't be open of heart for all the other things to be as fruitful. So it's not one or the other. It's both and with the things of God that make us grow. But this is an important part of it, and you put it into practice well. And I'm amazed that you do it when we don't emphasize it. I mean, we hardly ever get a talk like this. And it is humbling and amazing. And I just want to acknowledge it, give thanks to God for it, and encourage that attitude. So here we are. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body is full of light. As we close, I want to encourage you to ask yourself these questions as I ask myself them. Am I tithing to God through the local church? When was the last time I gave a free will offering to God's work? Locally or anywhere in the world. When was the last time I did that? When was the last time I gave to a Christian in need? Do good to all, especially the household of God. When was the last time I gave to the poor and needy? Think about it. Pray about it. And cultivate within your own heart a generosity to God that overflows. You are generous. Why not be super generous? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you're super generous to us. And as we consider generosity towards you, I want to thank you that your word says that you will supply all of our needs out of your riches and glory. And it's not about giving out of a pot that will come to an end, but it's about flow. You give to us, we give to you, you give to us. It's a flow. And I want to thank you that you put faith and grace in our hearts to be generous to you. And may that continue, and may it increase. And may our lives, individually and as a body here as a church, overflow with light. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.